0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The top flight is in cold storage with fans waiting patiently for the transfer window to open. Ange Postecoglou says Michael Nicholson is a driving force behind Celtic's January plans, and the Championship just about survives with only one big game going ahead despite five being scheduled. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, we've got Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy. Jim Duffy, we knew we were getting a winter break. We didn't know we were getting a winter break right now. It's all a little bit quiet, but Scottish football is never truly silent. There's always something going on.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, obviously from the Premiership, there's a little break and, you know, gives everyone a chance to clear their heads, clear the decks, get a clean bill of health and obviously start the transfer window, you know, and I think that'll be quite busy for a lot of clubs over the coming weeks, and I think all the fans always look forward to that time. As far as the Championship's concerned, two big matches tonight. Yeah, a few matches off, but two big matches involving the top half of the league and the bottom half of the league. So, yeah, still plenty of football and still plenty of interest going around Scottish football.
See, this is the beauty of breaking news and the time it's taken us to walk through here. The Partick Thistle Air United game is off, so we're down to one. I know when I spoke to you 30 seconds ago it was on, but now it is off. That's breaking news tonight. Now, Kenny Miller, I'm seeing parallels with your playing career here. How many times did you have to do everyone else's running? How many times were you the one that had to chase balls into the... You're going to need to do running for this guy. You hear his voice through there.
Toilet,
he sounds like he's struggling. You could be in for a tough shift tonight.
Absolutely, and I'm falling in for somebody else as well, clearly. So I'm just plugging gaps all over the place, so, as usual.
It's been a long time since Kenny's been a sub, that's for sure.
Absolutely. 01419511025. Yeah, winter break causing havoc. You were going to be in on Friday, then we cancelled the Hogmanay show. It's all happening. 01419511025. At Clyde SSB on Twitter. It's a bit of a blank canvas for you lot out there. No games really to look back on, certainly none to look forward to. So what's on your mind? What have you got for us? Pick up the phone and let us know. Maybe you'll want to review your season so far. Maybe we could focus in a little bit on the players who have been the standout players so far in the league this season. So we're at the end of December. We've had a few months under our belt. Who would be the standout players in the league for your team? If I intensify the challenge for you, not only your team, then what if you had to name, say, a top three, and it can't all be from your team? Maybe you could give us your suggestions on who the three standout players in the league have been so far this season. Maybe you do have January transfer window on your mind. Maybe you want to review, like I said. Maybe you're a fan of the Championship and you're sick fed up of the top flight getting all the limelight. We do have one game that survives tonight, so maybe you want to get your thoughts in on that. But either way, whatever it is, 0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone right now, speak to Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy and let them know what is on your mind. What will be the sort of thought process in the top flight, Kenny? Is it all about just that downtime right now? Is that what this period will be for the top flight clubs?
Absolutely. I think it's an opportunity to recharge. Obviously it's just been brought forward a week, so it was always coming, so they'll be looking forward to it this midpoint of the season and getting a little break, albeit as fans and people looking in. There were some big fixtures that are getting missed over this next few days, which I'm sure every fan up and down the country were looking forward to. But obviously we'll get them further down the line. But like Jim says, this time of year, it's a brilliant time for football. You know, as a player, as a fan, like, you're off your work, you've got a chance to go to the games. Again, it's a brilliant spell to be going watching your team at this time of year. So fans will be disappointed, you know, and we all are when there's this break. But obviously we'll have to hopefully get over it and get back to it on the 17th.
I'm just looking, thinking that Partick Thistle game, it would just be like the thing if we had a top flight fixture card tonight, that some of that would have been wiped out by the weather anyway, Jim.
Yeah.
Which that would just about sum things up. But that's the breaking news tonight. Partick Thistle fans, don't bother.
Stay in.
The game against Air United postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. That's just happened in the last few moments. There is one other game. Of course, Kilmarnock with the all-weather surface, as they call it. That one goes ahead, but no Partick Thistle Air tonight. But come on then, 01419511025. Maybe you want to review the season. Maybe you want to pick out your top three players from the league so far. I think that could be quite good fun. I think we'll get a good debate going on that one. So let's start there if you want to pick up the phone and get your thoughts in, please. There's a lot of other things doing the rounds. If you're looking at transfer rumour and speculation. I'm seeing stuff about John Souter, seeing stuff about Craig Gordon. Of course, last night, what about Billy Gilmore getting the abuse off the Norwich fans? There'll be loads of other talking points doing the rounds. So let's hear from you on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Have you got desperate yet, Jim? Have you started dipping into English football or darts or the world's strongest man? Is that not what you do at this time of year when you're needing a sporting fix?
Yeah, not quite the world's strongest man, but the darts, yeah. I've got a little bit in the darts now and again. Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic atmosphere. It's one of those ones that comes. It's only this time of the year because it's at the Ali Pali and it's a World Championship. It's probably the one time you really focus on something like that. But no, I still miss the football. And obviously, there's plenty of English top level games on over the last couple of days. So yeah, I mean, you're certainly getting your fix. We're not shying away from football at this moment in time.
We are not. Let's get stuck in the phones then. 0141 951 1025. James is going to kick us off. If you agree or disagree with what you hear from James, then you need to pick up that phone. Top three players in the league so far this season, James. Go.
Joe Aribo, okay. Burahash, John Souter.
But look at that. That's a textbook answer. James has come on. He's given one from his own team, one from his greatest rivals, and one from outside of Glasgow. I couldn't ask for any more. Let's go through them one by one then. Why is Joe Aribo your standout?
I think he's just the best player in the league so far. I think he's, when you hear him in interviews after the game, keeps talking about his numbers and delivering and improving the last season. So I think he's far more focused. His assists and his goals are better than it has been previously. But I just think he's playing that number of, sort of number 10, no more advanced. It's better suited to him now rather than putting him out wide. So I just think he's, just game after game, he's offered for it. He's always like a 7 or 8 out of 10 now. So
any complaints from you, Kenny Miller? Is that a good shout to kick us off?
No, a great shout. Probably, there's only one that would probably be fit in there. So I thought maybe Souter would be out, and you would maybe have guys like Jota in there. Again, if we're looking out with Glasgow, Tony Watt, those types of guys. Craig Gordon, again, Souter's teammate's been absolutely excellent. So, I think Kyogo's been sensational since he's came to the country, and Aribo has 100% stepped up a level this year.
What in particular? I mean, James is talking about, I mean, numbers is the first place you would look. He's got 6 goals. In fact, he's got 4 of them since sort of mid-November. Is there more than that? What have you noticed in terms of his development?
He's always been a really, really good player. You know, I think he had been deployed in several roles since he's came to the club. I really think this role under Giovanni is really going to suit him, playing in this attacking midfield role. His forward movement's really good. When he gets the ball, I actually liken him to Tom Rogic, to be honest with you. The way they receive, both players receive, obviously both left-sided, both probably 6'2", 6'3", big lads, really, really technical players. But the way they receive the ball was always away from the pressure. You know, they look after it. Very, very rarely do they give it away. You know, so he's had an outstanding season. He'll be well on track to get double figures and goals as well, which is always a positive for an attacking midfielder. But his all-round play has been really, really good. And I think he's the first name, he'll definitely be one of the first names on that Rangers team sheet.
Have you noticed that significant development, Jim? Because it's not like he's a new signing, but this is the season that it just feels like for most people he's really stepping up and actually overshadowing a long list of players who were, you know, sort of player of the year candidates in the previous season.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Kenny said, you can have different positions which you can play in because he's a terrific footballer. But sometimes that can actually, you know, hinder you a little bit. And I think the fact that Joe Aribo's in a central area more, he's getting more involved in the play. Talented players need the ball. You want to make them sick with the ball. Keep giving them the ball. And I think he's helped. I actually think Ryan Kent has also improved as well because I think he's staying a little bit wider. He's not committing to congested areas as well. I think the balance of Rangers looks a little bit better. But certainly from Joe Aribo's point of view, I think he's much more involved in the play. And as Kenny said, he's got just great awareness, great, when receiving the ball, first touch, awareness of his teammates and of the opposition. And I think he's been absolutely outstanding and so influential. Very like Tom Rogic, as Kenny mentioned. But no, Joe Aribo's been a standout this season. And I think the way that Van Bronckhorst has set up his team is absolutely perfect for him.
Does it become a bit of a double-edged sword at this time of year, James, when a player goes into January, the transfer window, and goes in such good form? Does there always leave that sort of worry that the other clubs will be paying attention, or is that just par for the course?
It's just great that I've been talked about in those conversations. So, yeah, you want your player to be talked about, you just don't want to leave. So it helps with helps with the sort of valuations and stuff like that. But no, I think it's part of the course. He's been that, like, between Kamara, Kent, Aribo, Tavernier, stuff like that. They've been involved in the last couple of conversations with the last few windows. So just good that they're maintaining it and delivering that level of service or performance.
Before we analyse the rest of James's shortlist in a bit more detail, does the nature of the deal, does that sometimes make it sweeter, Kenny? I mean, like, Ryan Kent signed for multi-million pounds, right? And you take guys like Hodgson, Edward, or guys that are brought in for a lot of money. They really, really have to make an impact because, you know, you've spent so much money on them. Then you go the other model, the Joe Aribo model, where you look at that English market, you try and exploit that, bring someone up for next to no money. Remember Lee Bowyer at the time being very critical of the player's decision. If you can then turn that type of deal into someone who, in James's mind, is the best player in the league, or is certainly Rangers' best player, that's exactly what you're looking for from a recruitment model, is it not?
It's every team's model. Every club's model is to sign players again for as little money as possible, bring them in, particularly younger players, develop them, give them the platform to go show how good they are, and sell them on for a lot more money. So Joe Aribo, again, you think of Dembele coming to Celtic a few years ago, comes up the road for, again, a nominal fee, if anything, and then gets sold on for 20, 25 million, whatever it was. So it's the ideal scenario. Obviously, you need to put a lot of work into the player, good players, but you need to develop them. They're coming to big clubs like Rangers and Celtic. They're going to get this exposure to playing in Europe as well. So it's always got the potential to become really, really good deals if the players take to the pressures that comes along with playing for the Old Firm and put the performances in, particularly on those big games, Old Firm games, European games, cup finals, you know, and you're going to get that opportunity in Glasgow.
Right, James has got Joe Aribo down as his top player of the season so far, the player that stood out the most. What do you think? Do you agree or disagree? Now, James was good enough. He's filled out all the criteria. He's given us a top three. And I like it, James, because people would have you believe that in this city, you think everyone in your team's great, everyone in the opposition is rubbish, and we just get on with it. But you've stuck Kyogo in your list. What is it that makes him stand out as a rival fan?
I think what he's done since he came to the country, the fact that the game seems a lot more physical, to be fair, to the way he's kind of found his feet at the start. I think Ken was brilliant, but he's just getting he's rolled up and gets stuck in. So, what should be quite a wee guy. Handle himself as good as he can. But I think just the way his abilities and sort of technical abilities kept his numbers up, scoring goals, etc. I just think he's done a great job, and probably most of my Rangers mates will have him.
Jim Duffy, the season of goodwill or what? We're just about managing to get praise for rival players. This will never catch on.
No, I mean, I'm just real. Hugh's no here to be falling off his seat for that. You know what I mean? But he's saying, my dad's bigger than your dad. That's gone. So, yeah, I mean, it is, you know, good to hear. People appreciating good players, and Kyogo is certainly that. It's his movement. His movement is, as I said, it's sensational. He waits, his timing, his run. He rarely gets caught offside. He plays on the shoulder. He's waiting in those pivotal moments. And then when they come across, more often than not, he puts the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, as James has said, you know, a player coming from Japan over here, the cultural change, the football and style change, everything adapting to a new country in the midst of a pandemic. I don't think you can praise the boy highly enough for the way he's adapted and the way he's slotted in seamlessly into that Celtic side and made him such an important player, as was shown just over a week ago in the cup final. You know, his two finishes in that game were absolutely outstanding. And I think he needs a little bit of support, because we've just seen recently again, whether it's fatigue or muscle injuries, he can't be the only player that Celtic rely on. In this moment in time, he probably is. So, you know, other than just support from him, yeah, another top class addition to the Scottish game.
Give us the striker's masterclass, Kenny, because I have this view myself, but I've certainly heard it loads about his movement being particularly good. What is it that's so good about it? Is it different from what other people do? Why is it his movement that seems to be getting spoken about more than most strikers that I can remember here in the last few seasons?
You know, there's a lot of strikers with really good movement. I think Kyogo, for me, is just constant. He's a constant threat to any opposition's back line. He lives on that shoulder. I mean, I've watched games where you think, right, okay, I remember the first games I was watching, right, what's this Kyogo all about? And I watched him and I thought, okay, he's not involved. Then up he pops with a chance or a goal by being on the shoulder. He's just a threat. He's a constant threat, and he's perpetual motion. You know, he's constant, he's alive as well. I mean, you look at the goal, the second goal in the cup final, he's just alive, makes a connection, makes a run, always a threat in behind, and it's a wonderful finish, like sensational finish. So no, just movement, it's just constant. He's always alive, he's always looking for these through balls. And by the way, he makes so many runs, 90% he doesn't get it. You know, he doesn't get the ball, but it doesn't dishearten him. He keeps at it, and he knows at some point one of his teammates will get him that chance.
Maybe, Jim, I don't know, because you can give us the defender's perspective. Then maybe it is getting spoken about so much because football's slightly moved towards an era where lots of strikers are brilliant at coming towards the ball and taking it into feet and linking it up, and maybe running in behind from a sort of number nine perspective is, I don't know, is that gone a little bit, and is that what defenders hate more than anything?
Yeah, I mean, it can go two ways. Some clubs now are playing without an out-and-out number nine. Yeah. You know what I mean? And therefore trying to say to the two centre-backs, well, who do you pick up? Whereas Kyogo occupies the two of them all the time. He plays in between either the centre-back and the full-back. So he occupies two players at all times or in between centre-backs. So again, both centre-backs are aware of him, and that creates space for these other players, particularly when Jota plays, and whether it's Abada, whether it's Forrest. And that's the reason why David Turnbull, that's the reason why I think there's so many goals from Celtic. Yeah, listen, we know we can look at the overall structure of Celtic, and they are a team that play on the front foot a lot. But I mean, Kenny's the ideal guy. He played as a lone striker so many times, it can sometimes be a thankless task, but you have to keep believing that one chance will come, even if it's not your best, even if you're not getting involved in the play all the time. But as you say, as Kenny mentioned there, stay on the shoulder, keep making those runs, and eventually one of your teammates will find you. And then it's all about the numbers after that, how high your percentage is in your finishing. And at this moment in time, it seems to be very, very good for Kyogo.
This has been a textbook answer from James in Barhead. We asked for your top three players of the league so far. He's given us his own team's player, a rival team's player, and one from out with, which was John Souter, if I remember rightly. James, why does he catch your eye?
A couple of reasons. One, the game he came in for Scotland, where I thought he was almost man of the match, if not, he got an award himself. And the last time the Rangers played Hearts, I just remember everything that in the box, he got out of the box. I just thought it was a proper centre-half performance. So, and especially being up against like the following the Rangers got right now, I thought he was just great. And like kind of my second reason for recommending is just if he's listening, to make sure he signs for Rangers in the January window and nobody else. So I would put him in the centre half position at Rangers straight away. I think I know he's injuries and concerns over like long term with Achilles and stuff, but I just think the guy's been head and shoulders above anything else this season.
Well, I'll tell you what, well, it's definitely a position I think that Rangers will be looking at moving forward. I think Hylander might just be coming back into training. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back into the team. If he comes back into the team, obviously Calvin Bassey's been great, and he's over the last month or so in that position. But you've got the situation with Conor Goldson, his contract situation. Is it how that's going to develop over the coming months? Will he leave in January? Will it be a pre-contract? Will he leave at the end of the season? So I'm sure he's one that will be on the radar. He's right on our doorstep, and he's been a consistent performer for a number of years now. Obviously the injuries have probably held him back a little bit, but he definitely looks like he's back to his best. And I 100% agree with James. I felt the game, as much as Rangers won that game 2-0, it was outstanding that day. Wonderful performance, and he's still young enough that he can move on, you know, and he could still have value in regards to what we're talking about before, bringing him in at a value and potentially moving him on for bigger funds.
Yeah, I mean, in the papers today, Jim, Robbie Nielsen saying John Souter won't be allowed to leave on the cheap. But he is, you know, out of contract in the summer. Reports linking him with Blackburn Rovers. James wants him to sign for Rangers. I feel clearly, you know, he would knock on the door of Glasgow's two big sides, wouldn't he? How much do you rate him?
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as Robbie said that, he will be leaving on the cheap one way or the other. So whether he signs in January, it'll be a lot less than he would have got a year ago, or he signs in the summer, which case says he goes for nothing. So obviously it's a cheap. But yeah, I mean, James is saying, Kenny's saying, I think he'd be an outstanding signing for Rangers. I think with the Conor Goldson contractual situation, you know, you've either got to put it on to Conor Goldson, listen, we need an answer by, you know, next week or whenever it happens to be, or they go and get an alternative. And a guy who knows the Scottish game, can handle playing for a big club like Hearts, which are a big club, big expectations, an international player, and you could get him for very little if you signed him in January, or nothing in the summer. I think it's a no-brainer. I think he's an outstanding piece of business. But the boy himself might want to try something different. He might want to go down south. A lot of talk about Blackburn and Stoke and a few other clubs looking at him. And I know they're not as big a club as Rangers, but you know, the fact is that he gets the opportunity to go and play in England might be something that he wants to you know, experience. And you know, again, that would be his choice. But certainly from Rangers' point of view, you know, I think it'd be a terrific signing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to break your heart, James, if it wasn't to be Rangers. We're looking at Blackburn, I think, who appear to be leading the race. If you believe what you read, is that an appropriate level? Do you think he's got another level in him, or how would you view that?
After the international games and what he's done against Old Firm, he's got another level than that, because no offence to Blackburn and down south, but he would be, I would say, top of Championship, bottom of Premiership level, because especially what he did in an international game, etc. So I think he's capable of playing that. Staying up here and going to the same grounds, yeah, might be a bit monotonous for him, but you're then getting into Europe and playing, going travelling around the sort of either half of Old Firm, but I'd say hopefully Rangers, but he's going to get new experiences and stuff like that. I just think he's already shown he's capable of that step up.
Yeah, I suppose Blackburn are having a brilliant season, aren't they? Only a couple of points behind Fulham and Bournemouth, so it will be interesting to watch. Thanks, James. Brilliant suggestions. Whether you agree or not, now is the time to pick up the phone. Who are your top three players in the league this season and why? We'll take your call next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025 to join in. And you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Whatever's on your mind, maybe you want to review the season, look at your January transfer business, please pick up the phone and share your thoughts. It's obviously a bit of a quiet midweek with no games, so we're asking you as well, who are the top three players in the Scottish Premiership so far this season? You'll obviously give me a standout. You'll give me your favourite, probably from your own team. Now let's see if we can cast the net a bit wider though. Maybe one from your rivals, maybe one from a bit further down the league as well. Let's see who deserves credit. Who are your three picks for player of the year in Scotland so far this season? I'm not dishing out any awards yet, it's a bit early for that. We're just checking who's made a good early impression. We've had shouts for the likes of Joe Aribo, Kyogo, John Souter. These guys have all been mentioned. That's over there on Twitter as well, so you can get your thoughts in. Let's bring in Kevin, who's in Croftfoot, and see what three names he has got for us. Hi, Kevin.
Evening, lads. How are you doing?
Not bad. What's your three?
My three would be Tom Rogic, okay, Jota, and Craig Gordon.
Oh, you've gone two Celtic and one former Celtic.
Yeah.
I'll let you away with it. I did say as long as they weren't all from the same club, and of course they are not. Why Tom Rogic then?
I just think Tom Rogic is a different animal this year under Ange. He looks a lot fitter. He's coming up with a few important goals as well, and it's just his ability to change games is unbelievable. I'm sure, I think it was Kenny that compared Aribo to Tom Rogic. I thought, I'm not sure if Kenny was at it or not when he said it, but
you know, right, Aribo, not Kevin, huh?
I think he's a good player, Kenny, but come on, he's not even in the same league as Rogic.
Oh,
he's probably got Rogic's posters in the wall.
Oh my goodness, come on now, you behave yourself. Listen, I'll agree, absolutely agree. I said it on the show months ago, right at the start of the season. Tom Rogic came back into the Celtic team, and for me, he's one of the guys that makes Celtic tick. Kyogo gets the headlines, Jota gets the headlines, but for me, Rogic is right up there with them. As is McGregor, to be honest with you, because McGregor makes him tick as well in a different way. But Rogic has been outstanding in this season. Obviously, when he's missing, I think they lack that creative edge. I really do, because he's a wonderful player.
You miss him terribly. His ability to take the ball in a half turn, and his defence splitting passes are, I mean, sometimes it's unbelievable, the passes that the guy sees.
See, this is more like it, Jim Duffy. The first caller was a Rangers fan and was saying, "You know, do you know what? My pals will slaughter me, but I'd take Kyogo." And this is more like it. Joe Aribo has got Tom Rogic posters on his wall, says Kevin in Croftfoot.
So Kevin wouldn't take Joe Aribo onto the Celtic side then? Would you not take Joe Aribo, Kevin?
he'd probably be decent for the bench.
I thought that was coming, especially recently.
Yeah. No, listen, I mean, Tom Rogic has been outstanding this season, but let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago that that Tom Rogic was on his way to Celtic. I think it was just really last minute. You know, he was going to the Middle East. That deal fell through, and for a good couple of seasons, Tom Rogic was posted missing. Now, a fantastic player, but he had a couple of seasons there where he wasn't anywhere near the level he's at now. I think what Kevin has said is that under Ange Postecoglou, he's reborn. There's absolutely no doubt about that. He always had talent, but now he's got consistency, and I think that's the big difference. Tom Rogic always had that quality of defence, split and pass. He's always had that execution, a real craft and guile and imagination, but he didn't produce it often enough. This season, he has been very consistent, and I think a lot of credit has to go to the manager. One, for his belief and trust in him. Two, for getting him fitter, because there's no doubt he is fitter.
Remember, it used to be a thing. Oh, there's Tom Rogic coming off again.
An hour.
It was one of those things that they could never shake, and no one really seems to talk about it anymore. Can that happy, Kenny, thinking back to your own career, you played under loads of different managers, even that personal touch, Ange Postecoglou worked with him before, sometimes does a manager just come in and revitalise you, maybe when other people have got you written off? Did that happen?
Of course it does. Every player, if you talk to any player over the course of their career, they'll have a manager or two that seem to get a little bit extra out of them, you know. And like Jim says, he's not been great for the last couple of seasons, whereas maybe the season and a half prior to that, it was again one of the first names on the team sheet when Brendan Rodgers came in and they were playing the style of football that they were playing there. But no, he's a wonderful player. He has been revitalised this year under Angie's countrymen, obviously. So it's good to see. We want to see good players, the best players performing in this league in Scotland, and he's definitely one of them.
I think, did you say previously on the show, forgive my dodgy memory, you felt Walter Smith did that?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a manager, it just fits for you and gives you a kickstart.
No, I absolutely did. He was one of a few that seemed to get something out of him. Again, for me, he was the one that got most, you know. And people will always ask, what was it? What did he do? And again, it's just, he just had a gift, you know. He managed to get, and I know if you're speaking to a number of players over the last few months, that I'm not the only one, you know, and there is managers there like that. And obviously, it's a bit of connection, like you say, but it's a personal touch. Whether there's just a connection of personalities and characters, sometimes there's just that right fit, and you just, a manager, a coach even, can just find something in you didn't know you had.
Kevin, I'm looking for some honesty here. When it was suggested that Tom Rogic might leave and might go to Qatar, I think it was, were you one of the Celtic fans who thought, yeah, do you know what, maybe the time is right, let him go, and now you're holding your hands up to say I'm glad that didn't happen, or were you always desperate to try and keep him?
No, do you know what it was? It came out the blue a bit when it was said they was going to the Middle East. So I was always in the camp to keep Tom Rogic. He's a player with the ability that you can't really afford to not have. I think he's got that bit of something different.
Yeah, you need that, Jim, as well. Let's for once forget about league tables and the number of assists and the number of goals, which of course are vitally important, but we should never lose that, just that joy that your eyesight can give you when you see a player that does something that you like. And I think, as Kevin mentioned, picking up the ball in the half turn, that's a real feature of his. I know it's a bit of a cliche about getting fans off their seats, but you just need a bit of that, don't you?
Yeah, he glides past people. You know, he's just got that lovely balance again for a tall guy, and you know that's why we're obviously, me and Kenny think he's a bit similar to Aribo, Kevin doesn't, but you know, I think that he's just got that, as I say, that lovely balance. His head up. He's really aware of what's going around about him all the time. But, as I said, he didn't produce it, you know, for a good couple of seasons. And I think as a squad player, yeah, you would always have him. But as one of your first names in your team sheet, no, I don't think there was too many Celtic fans where I thought, yeah, definitely. But this year, yeah, 100%, he's like a kid with a new toy. He's absolutely thriving under Ange Postecoglou. I think the style of football, similar, as Kenny mentioned earlier on about you know, Brendan Rodgers, that style suits him. He's doing most of his work in the middle third and attacking third. He's not having too many defensive responsibilities, and that's let the shackles off him a little bit. So yeah, no, fair play to him. He's responded, and again, he puts a smile on your face. He's a player that excites you, and you think something exciting is going to happen when he picks the ball up.
Yeah, thank you very much to Kevin. So Kevin gave us Tom Rogic, Jota, Craig Gordon is his top three. We've got loads on Twitter coming in. New Jersey Jambo says Kyogo, Aribo, Gordon. I'm seeing a bit of a theme here. A lot of the same names. Stevie's mixing it up. Stevie's gone Jota, Top, Boyle, Sigrist. Mixing it up there. Don't mind that. Martin Boyle has had a very productive season. Ali's gone Tony Watt, John Souter, and Kyogo. Ross says Craig Gordon, Kyogo, and Tony Watt. Sorry, Gordon, for bringing his name up. But his goal against Dundee United was goal of the season for me. So, some interesting ones coming in there on Twitter as well. It's nice to hear from you on the phone. 01419511025. What else have we got there? I think it's James in Glasgow. I think we were about to get him on. I don't know if he's disappeared, so I'll give the technology a couple of seconds to catch up and see if we can get James on. Give me this padding, Jim. That's what they call this. Live radio. It's
I hear something in the background.
I think I can hear him. I can hear him somewhere. We've got him now though. James is in Glasgow. James, who's your top three at the moment?
I'd go for Craig Gordon at Hearts. I'd go for Anthony Ralston at Celtic, and I'd go for Morelos at Rangers.
Interesting. Right. Okay. So you're a Rangers fan, James. Is that right?
Yes.
Right, let's start. Let's start the rivals this time then. Why is Anthony Ralston catching your eye as a rival fan?
I think coming from nowhere, and obviously the loan spell at Dundee United wasn't that great. Probably the last choice right back at Celtic at the start of the season to what he is now is unbelievable.
Yeah, Jim, it's a story, isn't it? It's a story. I think everyone appreciates that.
Yeah, I mean, the old saying, patience is a virtue, and I think in Anthony Ralston's case, that's definitely something that he has had to be. You know, as James has said there, he's went out on loan, you know, some done okay, but the one thing he did get was a bit of experience, learning from it. You know, I know Kenny done it as a young kid, went to Stenishmuir. You know, you sometimes it doesn't always have to be perfect for you, but what it does maybe do is makes you appreciate when you go back to your parent club. Listen, this is something I want to give everything I've got to try and make sure that I give it a chance. But he needed a chance. In Celtic for, you know, whether it was Frimpong, whether it was El Hamed, it was, you know, there were so many. Obviously, Mikael Lustig was there for many years. You know, there were so many right backs. Even Juranovic was signed as a right back. But Anthony Ralston just keeps batting away this season because of his consistency. Again, the style does suit him. There's no doubt about it. The way the manager wants to play. But he's responded to that. He's picked up the bat and he's took on the challenge. And fair play to him. Again, he's had a terrific season, both defensively and contributing with some very important goals. So, yeah, no, fair play to Anthony Ralston, because I don't think, again, a little bit like Tom Rogic, I think 6 months ago, no one would have given him a chance to be a regular Celtic first team player. They thought he was his way out the door.
Maybe set ourselves a challenge, Kenny. There will be someone out there somewhere, one person who claims that they saw this coming, who knew in the summer that. But if it is, it can't be more than one person, and it certainly won't be many.
No, listen, I think Jim's nailed it. If you had went back at the end of last season and even before that, there's no honest Celtic fan out there that could have said Anthony Ralston will be one of our key players this year. And make no mistake about it, he has been one of them. There's been some outstanding performers, like I said, the headline grabbers of Kyogo and Jota, the creativity and flair of Rogic. Callum McGregor's absolute nailed on consistency now for a number of years. But Ralston's come into the team and he's made that position his own. Like you said, he seems to be embracing. And he got a bit of stick at the start for the positioning and things that Ange wants to see his fullbacks in certain moments of the game. He got a little bit of stick for turning the ball over, maybe too easy. But he's kept there. He's not hid. He's stuck to the task. And he's contributed, like you say, both defensively and a solid team. And going forward, he scored some big goals again, none more so than that 97th minute winner at Ross County, which again at that moment just kept him right in touch with Rangers.
Now, interestingly, James, every Rangers fan that's been in touch has gone Joe Aribo, every single one of them, I think. But you want to throw Morelos in there. I assume this is about the transformation, maybe, rather than the sort of overall campaign so far.
Yeah, I think 100%. I think I was going between Joe Hart and Craig Gordon from other choice. But Gordon, consistency again. Joe Hart's made a couple of mistakes, but for Morelos, he just looks happy just now. He looks a lot slimmer, a lot fitter. He's got that hunger back. He's 8 league goals and 4 assists, I believe, which is a great return. You know, you've got Kyogo on the other side that's got 8 goals, 0 assists, who's electric, outstanding player, but I just feel Morelos has turned the corner since Gilles come in.
Again, to draw some sort of parallels. We're talking about managers fitting and all the rest of it. Whether that's it or whether it's a new style or a new way of working that suits Alfredo Morelos, or whether yet again he wants to put himself in a shop window, only he would know for sure, Jim. But I think everyone agrees there's been a difference since the new manager came in.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's scoring goals, he's in the penalty box, he's in and around, you know, between the posts. And I think that was something that, you know, he maybe lost a little bit. He's maybe overall link-up play had been better, maybe working a little bit more for the team, but he certainly wasn't in the positions where he could be a penalty box striker. And I think if you look at all his recent goals, you know, they've all been in about 10 yards and in. And I think that's what you want, Alfredo Morelos. Again, he's got that little instinct where he assesses things very quickly, he sees things, he anticipates it, and he's on it in a flash, sticks it in the back of the net. I'm not quite sure if he looks happier, but then again, I don't think he looks happy at any time. I don't think he looks happy on Christmas morning. But I think when he scores goals, that's him. That's when you see him releasing, you know, that love of football. Mm. And he points at himself as if to say, listen, I'm the man. And I think that's what Alfredo Morelos needs. He needs an arm on his shoulder. He needs to be the big dog. And I think he is under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And again, staying central. Let Ryan Kent deal with the wide areas, and Hadji or whoever else is out in the right, Scott Wright or whatever. You stay in there. Your job, stick the ball in the back of the net. And I think he's been terrific under Gianni Van Bronckhorst.
Hey, Kenny, I think from memory you were on the night after the Sparta Prague game when he scored twice, and it was early on in Van Bronckhorst's reign. And whilst you acknowledged the goals, you were of a view of, okay, well, that's one game. Let's see how this sort of progresses. So where are we? Another 7 games down the line. You're starting to be won over a bit more by the transformation.
I think the goals have started to return. I mean, that's something we could always associate with Alfredo in his game since he's came to Rangers. His goal return's been excellent. I think we touched on it last week or a few weeks back. That was, he's 1-2. His goal scoring in Europe has been sensational. So his goal scoring was never ever in doubt. It just did take a dip over the last 18 months or so, but I don't know, but he's definitely, in the league goals that he's got at the moment, there's definitely been 4, 5, 6 of these came since Giovanni's came into the club. So Jim's right, he's now focusing more being where he needs to be. When crosses, cutbacks, box situations are happening, he's in the mix, he's there where he should be, and he reads situations very well. Goal scorers do. They anticipate things. They read scenarios really, really quickly, and they get on the end of things. And that's what he's doing now. His all-round play had really improved. I'd say that all along, but I think it was probably to the detriment of him scoring goals. So, yep, absolutely. That's what you want to see, Alfredo, is scoring goals regularly for Rangers.
It's a good list from James as well. Anthony Ralston, Alfredo Morelos, Craig Gordon on James's list. We're going to get a Hearts fan on to discuss Craig Gordon, I'm sure, and others next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here, Jim Duffy is with him, and the number you need to get in touch is 0141 951 1025. Hopefully people didn't notice me about to call you Joe Duffy, because Joe Hart just popped up. I was about to read out something about Joe Hart, and you can
call me Joe if you want me, I'm no problem.
You've been called worse.
Yeah, a lot worse.
it's that time of year. Maybe the focus has gone a little bit. But yes, Joe, there was a two-pack of all people who tweeted in, presumably. Not that one. Who says Jota, Kyogo, Hart. Come on, where's the spirit of the awards? We need to be giving some credit to other teams. But yeah, I guess it's not.
Gordon, you can't pick any more than one from your own team.
I know. And people are on Twitter going, well, why would you pick anyone from Celtic? They sit in second. Well, it was just a bit of fun. It was too easy to go and pick three from your team. And if you're only allowed to mention the team at the top, then the rest of the league would be as well just chucking it and giving it a miss. We're trying to spread the love. There's some good players all throughout the league, so give us your top three. And I must say, I'm really sorry to Kenny, who's been hanging on for ages. Kenny, I know you're going to have a Hearts slant on this. Suter or Gordon, if I made you pick one, who's been better?
Gordon.
Yeah, easy. Simple as that. You're convinced?
Aye. I think Craig's been absolutely outstanding this year.
You'll know more about this than me then, Kenny, right? Because I don't know if I'm going recency bias, and I was a bit younger at the first spell. Is he better this spell or the first spell?
Better now. He's better now. He's a little calmer. Obviously, he's younger. Obviously coming through the ranks, but I think going away doing to Sunderland, then coming to Celtic, sort of turned him into the man he is now, and then coming back to the team that he loves, you kind of get better than that.
Jim, better this spell? You know, like I say, or is there a attempt? Does recency bias do that to you, where you see him in good form and you just go, oh well, he must, you know, he must be better this time?
No, I couldn't say that. I mean, obviously, I was at Hearts for a short time when Craig was there, but obviously, seen a lot of the games right about that time as well. I can remember a few just unbelievable saves. I think he won the save of the decade, I think, or something like that, didn't he?
Against Bolton, you know,
in England. But his general goalkeeping has always been of a very, very high standard. As Kenny said, yeah, might be a little bit calmer now, and just, you know, like, I think he's still, you know, he's a bit like Al McGregor. He's still a bad loser, which is a good thing to be if you're a goalie. But you know, I think he's maybe just a little bit more confident in himself these days. But no, me personally, I would have think he's been one of the most consistent goalkeepers, and to having to come back from the length of time he had out, you know, technically retired, is an incredible comeback, really, to the level he's come into and become Scotland's number one again. So, you know, I mean, he's almost came full circle. So an incredible you know, talent, but also determination and attitude and you know, just desire. I think he's you know, he's absolutely got to be one of the top players, not just this season, but pretty much any season.
You'll know, you played with him.
Wonderful goalkeeper. You know, that was, we were blessed with some really, really top goalkeepers in that Scotland squad at that time. Like Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor, Davy Marshall were all vying for it, all being the number one in the last kind of six to eight years. They've all had the jersey at one spell. But Craig's he's just a top goalkeeper. It's as simple as that. There's no getting away from it. He's world class. Craig Gordon's a world class goalkeeper. Yeah, he's older in his years now, but he's, I think it was a few years ago, Chelsea were coming in for him maybe to be a number two or whatever it was at the time. But he's just a top goalkeeper. You know, he was excellent as a young goalkeeper coming through at Hearts. He broke into the Scotland team early, and some of the saves he made, not just in games, but we train with the guy every day. You know, he was top level. And even recently, you see the saves he made in Scotland jersey where there was big games and big moments, and he was there. And you know, that's what you need for goalkeepers. When that moment comes along where you might be on top and it's a concentration thing, that they're there to make these big saves. And Craig's one of them. You know, I can't speak highly enough of him. No surprises that he's getting bandied about with these like top performers this season.
Interestingly though, Kenny, the other one, Kenny on the line, newspaper reports this afternoon about a number of English clubs keeping an eye on Craig Gordon. I didn't expect that, just because obviously he's 39. No offence, Kenny Miller, I know you were still going strong. But his contract will be up at the end of the year, Kenny. Do you think he could still go and do a job for big English clubs after this heart spell?
Of course he could, aye. But I think with his new baby and everything like that, I think he'd rather stay home. And fingers crossed he stays home and keeps producing performances that he does every week that we see, me and my daughter see here firsthand.
Kenny's tugging on the heartstrings there. I don't know if that's wishful thinking or if that's the way it will play out, Jim Duffy. It might well be, but yeah, like I say, maybe it's just myself. It's not a player I necessarily expected much speculation about.
No.
Maybe I had forgotten about the contract situation. What do you read into that today?
Yeah, but again, if you look at about, you know, I mean, for someone, if you want, I mean, managers are, you know, very, very short term these days. And, you know, so a manager might not be worried about 2 or 3 years. They might be thinking, right, for the next 18 months, I need the best goalkeeper available. If you look around the country, there's not that many better than Craig Gordon, if any. You know, and I think if you look at England's number one, Jordan Pickford, you know, and playing with Everton, me personally, again, I wouldn't say he's better than Craig Gordon. So, you know, these are the two. Listen, it's all about opinions, and people kind of rubbish the Scottish game a little bit. But I'm just talking about pure talent. And, you know, for me, I would rather have Craig Gordon, my goal behind me, than Jordan Pickford. So I think if you, and again, you could run a number of other goalkeepers down south, and I think he's every bit as good, if not better, than the vast majority. So yeah, I'm no surprise to me that there are clubs and will be clubs interested in him, because easily he can play for them. As I say, he had that wee hiatus in his career anyway, so I think he can definitely play for another 2 or 3 seasons, no problem whatsoever.
Is that the reality of it, Kenny, that people maybe assumed that he's going back to Hearts and you'll see out his career there? You're looking at, you've left Celtic, I'm sorry to Kenny on the line, it's obviously a step down in terms of our league. All of a sudden he's gone there and played so well. You talk about those eye-catching saves. It seems like he makes one every week, and then he goes and does it on big televised international matches. Has he maybe actually got another move in him?
I think he could have. I mean, it's when you hear that, like, you wonder, what is the move? What is the club? Yeah. Is it someone looking for a number one? Is it a bigger club looking for a number two? Who knows? But there's no doubt Craig will play for he'll be playing somewhere next season. You know, so whether it's at Hearts, and it might well be at Hearts, he might see his career out at Hearts. He might be settled and he might be looking, no, that's not for me. Now I've done my moving about and I'm going to stay home and I'll sign again at Hearts. But if somebody, now his contract's up, somebody knocks his door and puts an option in front of him, that's a really intriguing one for him. It might be from a bigger club and a chance to go back to the Premier League. Might be in the North of England, so he can commute a little bit as well. You know, I think he'll be interested. You know, the fact that why has it got to this moment, well, 6 months, when you know how good he is, you know the guy, you know he's been about for a number of years, you know what you're going to get. If Hearts lose him, it'll be a massive loss.
Kenny, before we let you go, I'm not letting you off that easy. You've praised Gordon and Souter. You wanted to talk about Cammy Devlin. We've not even got to that. Who's Hibs' best player?
It was tough to say Boyle, but to be honest, I would think back to the, bear in mind I'm 3 years off of 60, but I think back to the time when I played football, and I loved the way the style Porteous plays.
There we go. You've managed to praise too, Kenny. I don't mind that at all. Thanks for sharing your thoughts tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Keep your thoughts coming in on who the standout players are in the league so far. Let's see who the standout is in terms of football trivia and knowledge. It's 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7 o'clock. So be quick, your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy is here, so's Kenny Miller, and they're both waiting on your calls. 0141 951 1025 on the phones or Twitter at Clyde SSB. It's obviously a bit of a quieter day in Scottish football, if such a thing exists. So we've been asking you, who are the three standout players in the top flight so far this season? It's actually developed into a really good discussion. We've heard Joe Aribo's name and Tom Rogic and Kyogo. We've heard a lot of Craig Gordon and John Souter, and even Alfredo Morelos has been mentioned for his recent form. So if you agree or disagree with what you've heard, now's a good time to call, and we'll get to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Jim Duffy, seasoned campaigner, experienced. Kenny Miller arrived, hit the ground running, burst into life, then lost his first game last time out. So we'll see who's going to be up tonight against Mark from Cope Bridge. How's it going, Mark?
How you doing? You alright?
Not bad at all. Have you ever played before? Have you ever played before, Mark? Oh no, I think we've lost. That's not bad.
No, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Good stuff. Have you ever played before?
I've not, no.
Right, first time. How do you do at home when you play along?
I don't usually win there either.
This is two nights in a row. We had the guy last night, was his manner was just brilliant. He came on and said, whatever his name, sorry, forget his name. Do you play along at home? Aye, I play all the time. Any good? No, rubbish. And then he proceeded to be pretty rubbish and lost. So anyway, maybe Mark can do better. Heads, it's Jim Duffy. Tails, it is Kenny Miller. And it is tails, it's Kenny up against Mark from Cope Bridge. So let's give Kenny some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he can't steal the answers. Mark, 30 seconds, answer as many questions right as you can, and if you don't know, pass quickly, and we will move on to the next one, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many goals has Alfredo Morelos scored under Van Bronckhorst?
5.
Adam Matthews left Celtic for which English side?
Pass.
Who were Air United due to play tonight before it was called off?
Pass.
Who's got more Nigeria caps, Aribo or Balogun?
Aribo.
Where did Norwich sign Kenny McLean from?
Aberdeen.
How many games has Barkas started this season?
1.
What's the largest capacity stadium in the Scottish Championship?
Nah, pass.
Okay, you'll kick yourself at that one, I'm sure of it. Let's bring Kenny Miller back. Kenny, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. 30 seconds. Same set of questions to you, and your time starts now. How many goals has Alfredo Morelos scored under Van Bronckhorst?
6.
Adam Matthews left Celtic for which English side?
Sunderland.
Who were Air United due to play tonight before it was called off?
Pass.
Who's got more Nigeria caps, Aribo or Balogun?
Balogun.
Where did Norwich sign Kenny McLean from?
Aberdeen.
How many games has Barkas started this season?
One.
What is the largest capacity stadium in the Scottish Championship?
Dunfermline.
What's the verdict, Mark?
I think he's beat me there with Matthew's question anyway, but I don't know about the Championship one.
Yeah, let's find out. How many goals has Morelos scored under Van Bronckhorst? It is 6 in 8 games. Kenny gets it, goes 1 up. Sunderland was the destination for Adam Matthews after Celtic, so 2 up to Kenny. Air United were due to play
Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle, waterlogged pitch at Firhill, so that one is off. 2-0 to Kenny. A 50-50 shout on the next one, Mark. Aribo or Balogun? You went Aribo, Kenny went Balogun, and I'm afraid, Mark, the answer is Balogun. He's a good bit older, I think, isn't he? So he's got 43 caps. Aribo's only on 12, actually, so quite a gap between them. 3-0 Kenny Miller. I was worried for you at this stage, Mark, I must admit. I like to see the listeners do well. I don't like any zeros, but you did know that Aberdeen was where Norwich signed Kenny McLean from. Maybe get back to those nasty lot at Norwich later on. How many games has Barkas started this season? You both went for one at St Johnstone. He did start one against Midtjylland back in July, so it's 2. And both of you, either you'll kick yourself or I'll send Jim Duffy in to kick you. The largest capacity stadium in the Championship, Jim?
Kilmarnock.
Rugby Park, 17,000.
Yeah.
It's the 7th most in the entire country. Mm-hmm. They are now in the Championship. Mark, it was a tough school. Kenny Miller beat you 4-1. Hard lines.
Bit of pumping.
Cheers, Mark.
Was it not 4-2?
Is that a technical term?
Was it not 4-2, Gordon? Aberdeen and won Barkas.
It doesn't matter, it's a defeat.
No, he didn't get Barkas. Oh, he said one. It was 2. He started against Mitchell as well. So there we go. We tried, Mark. We tried to even. Jim's trying to get you an extra point here, but it was 4-1. And a bit of a, you know, as Mark suggested. I think that's a technical term, isn't it? You get away with that.
Sometimes you roll them, sometimes you don't go there.
Nowadays, so you're back in the winning run, though. You're
back in the W.
Feeling confident.
Feeling good. Real confident, yep.
Right, 01419511025. Whilst we're on the subject then, Norwich City, we're well placed here. You've got your own ties to Norwich City, Jim Duffy. Mm-hmm. Kenny knows Billy Gilmore very well. What about that last night? Mm-hmm. Please politely go back to Chelsea, or something along those lines was what they were chanting at him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't quite work that out. I mean, when you look at Norwich, I mean, they've been absolutely dreadful the whole season. They're leaking goals left, right and centre. And yet you seem to pick on one of the younger players, one of the more talented players, and to somebody that's came there to try, you know, not just develop his own career, but help the team. So, you know, it just seemed very, very strange to me and very unfair. Any player that plays in the game, the one thing you would always ask your player, particularly a footballing midfielder, is don't hide. And Billy Gilmore never hides. He always wants the ball. He's always looking to be creative. He takes responsibility way beyond his years. And I think if half his teammates took as much responsibility as he did, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in currently.
What did you make of it, Kenny? I mean, footballers, I guess they know that criticism is going to come their way at some point. Is that justified though?
Listen, sometimes it's warranted. You know, you can be going through a real bad spell at a football club, and if it's a striker, you're not scoring goals. If it's a goalkeeper, you've made a few mistakes. Being defenders, we've seen it in this country over the last few years with people getting a lot of stick and their performances come under real scrutiny. But like Jim said, Billy Gilmore's a very, very good player. He's a young player that's went out there. Again, it just shows the importance of getting the right loan moves, because yes, Norwich want to play a certain way, and I imagine that's why he's went there initially. But maybe what they couldn't have foreseen was the start to the league and how it went, you know, and they've lost so many games. And I wouldn't say their style's changed, but what I would say is when Billy Gilmore's playing for Chelsea, with the greatest of respect, he's playing with better players, you know, and who are more accustomed to play the way that he wants to play. You know, when he plays for Chelsea, you've seen some of the performances put against Liverpool, against Man City. You've seen the Scotland performances against England. And in fact, any performance he's made for Scotland, he's been excellent. So he's playing with a better level of player who are playing the way he wants to play in the game that suits him. In Norwich, when they need to win games, when at the bottom of the league and they're fighting, sometimes that maybe needs to take a little bit of a hit. Whereas Billy, like Jim says, will always want the ball, he'll always want to pass, he'll always want to move. And when you look at the stats actually last night, I don't think that criticism is warranted, because his passes he's been made, his final third pass or opposition half passes.
Yeah, it was chances created per 90, he was first. Accurate passes per 90, first. Accurate long balls per 90, first. And tackles per 90. he was first in the Norwich
ball recoveries
team
as well. He was high in ball recoveries as well. So
that makes it. I mean, what is that then, Jim? Is that the psychology of
just wanting to blame someone? I think you know, sometimes you become a fall guy through no fault of your own. I mean,
but I wonder though if you sometimes you get that sort of if someone keeps telling you something. Mm. All the Chelsea fans love Billy Gilmore, right? And then and so do the Scotland fans, obviously.
Yeah.
And when he got dropped from the team, everyone was saying, "Oh, Norwich, you know, look at you lot, you're ridiculous. Yeah. This guy's so good." Has it almost become? There's a desperation there, weirdly, even though he's one of their players at the moment. There's actually a desperation to tell people, you were all wrong. We don't rate this guy. I assume it's not a Scotland England thing because Grant Hanley and Kenny McLean are there. So
no, I don't think it is. And if it's successful, Scottish managers now, particularly Paul Lambert, for a good while. So no, I don't think it is. I think it's a difficult one because the pundits as well, the kind of senior pundits, if you want to call them, the likes of Souness and these other kind of guys, that they were all waxing lyrical about him as well. I think Ian Wright and Alan Shearer and all these kind of guys. So yeah, I mean, maybe they just think they need a different type of player. They don't want another football in their team, and maybe he's just went to the wrong team, and they're looking for somebody to put tackles in and win headers and blocks, and he's not that type of player. He might have been better going to like a Bournemouth or a Fulham, drop the division to the Championship, because they're on the front foot all the time attacking and play really good football. But he chose to stay in a team who were always going to be one of the favourites, if not the favourite, to get relegated. And I think it has been a difficult move. But as we said earlier on, sometimes, you grow up from that, you become tougher, mentally tougher. And when you go back, whether it's Chelsea or you go in another move, then actually you become a better all-round player for that experience, even if it has been negative.
Is that something you buy into, Kenny? Can it be detrimental? Is this now creating an environment that Billy Gilmore won't want to be a part of? And is there maybe a time down the line when it makes you stronger?
No, I think it'll make him stronger.
Yeah,
absolutely. I know the boy. I know the character. He's got a strong mentality. I mean, I think that shows. But he'll still take the ball. He'll still want to pass. He'll still want to play the way that he knows he can play. And I absolutely get it what Jim says. And he's spot on. But you just look at the size. Billy obviously is small in stature. But he still tackles, he still works, he still heads, he still blocks. He does all the dirty part of the job. He doesn't believe he's too good for that or it's below him. He does his work as well. And it's just like, there might just be simply they're looking for a fall guy, or they don't actually appreciate the job that he does. And that's sometimes, you talked about managers who have effects on players. Sometimes managers appreciate players more than fans don't see what the mm-hmm. job that a player does, And it could be something as simple as that, because there's one thing for sure. All the pundits, all the players that play alongside him, again, my eyes, he's a top player.
How come he looks so good playing for Scotland? I mean, it's a setup. I mean, I know Stevie plays three at the back most of the time now, certainly 99% of the time, and obviously he's the midfield, whether it's Callum McGregor or John McGinn either side of him or whatever. But he's been outstanding in the last few matches for Scotland against top players.
Are those guys around him better? He doesn't have John McGinn near him, he's got a great relationship with Callum McGregor.
But also, as I said, I think the structure, he's got balance round about him. Whereas you watch Norwich, they're so open. They're all over the place. So if Billy Gilmore makes a pass and someone gives it away, Billy Gilmore might be trying to chase the guy back, but it's not. So it's because the gap between him and the other guy is 30, 40 yards. And it maybe look as if, oh, well, that's his fault because he's the guy trying to rectify the situation. But it's not. It's down to the shape and the structure and the balance of the team.
Is that enough? Fans singing, is that enough to change what happens in January?
I expected him to go back in January anyway. I don't know how long his loan is, if it's the season long loan or if it was just till January. But once he was left out the team, I know this obviously was under a different manager. Once he was left out the team and I looked at it and I seen Norwich struggling, I do think maybe the fans maybe just think, oh, well, we need a different type of player for the position that we're in and the needs that are required. Each game, maybe they need a different type of player. I expected Billy to potentially go back out, but I know since Dean Smith went in, he has put him right back in the team. And again, he's probably been an ever-present in the lineup since Dean came in. So it'll be interesting to see. But I did expect him to go back. I don't think this will fully affect him. He might. I think it would always be on the cards anyway.
Right. 01419511025. Let's bring in Kieran, who's an East Kilbride. Kieran, what's your thoughts? We're going for a kind of three players that stand out for you in the league this season. If you can spread it across the clubs, even better.
Yeah, so my three, I'd have Carter Vickers, Charlie Mulgrew and Ryan Portis is my three players.
I just fell off my chair there.
I think Kieran's part of some sort of centre back club. Is there something, are you a centre back yourself, Kieran? You stick up for the defenders?
No, I think I played it once. I think it was 4-0 and never went back to centre back. I'll stay at the top of the park. Normally it's the bench for me, but yeah, I prefer the top half, a bit like Kenny.
Quite right. Right, you're not having those suggestions, Kenny?
No, you know, again, it's just, I think when you look at the. Charlie's been excellent for Dundee. Yeah. He absolutely has. Ryan Portis is getting a lot of attention at the moment. Really
getting
like
a lot
him
of attention
well.
Tonight. He's just been banned for three games, but I'll get to that.
Yeah,
in a minute.
We'll get to that then. But no, he's an outstanding young player. And Carter Vickers, again, is probably the number one choice for Celtic at centre back at the moment.
Right. So you just want all the limelight for attacking players. That's what you mean.
Well,
so,
you know, I'm not the one that gives them the headlines, but they do get the headlines. Listen, it's a good list, and the lads who he's chosen have been top performers this year. Probably just not the top. I think when the end of season awards come up, I wouldn't imagine
come on,
those
Jim.
Lads to be in it.
Hey, centre backs can win player of the year.
Yeah, they can on a rare occasion. But you know, listen, I like the fact that that Kieran's given us those three names, because I think it's telling you that the league's in good shape this year. I think last year, I think if you were asked, you know, to pick three players from a variety of teams, we'd all have been struggling. I think the vast majority would have been Rangers players, and that'd have been it. I mean, maybe 8-9. Rangers players, and you'd really be struggling after that. But this year there has been some top class performers in different areas, different positions, in different teams, and I think that's good. It's good to see Charlie Mulgrew again. We go back and talk about the experience. We were talking about Craig Gordon on. Charlie's went there, and there's some young players. There's a you know, he's come in with the new manager Thomas Coates, and a lot of people are thinking, oh, he's came from the academy side, but he's brought in a guy that knows the game. He's a good leader. He's a talker. He's an organizer. And I think that's the reason why they're having a more than decent season. I think Ryan Portis, listen, I've had my discussion on this many a time. He has to learn. He keeps saying he won't change. He has to change, because if he doesn't change, he'll hit a brick wall. In the modern day game, you cannot be as aggressive as he wants to be. You cannot. It's just simple as that. A lot of people say, yeah, we want a big, dominant, aggressive centre-back. Yeah, but you just can't be that nowadays. He has to stay on his feet more. He has to cut out the lunges. He has to read the game, anticipate things a little bit more, because he can hit a raking diagonal. He is strong physically. He can be a good defender in the box and in the opposition box, a threat. But I know before tonight he got the ban, people are saying his record's not too bad, but yeah. He has, over the last couple of seasons, one or two reckless moments, and he's now at a stage where that's got to go.
Yeah, it's just been announced in the last 10 minutes he has been handed a three-match ban. Kieran's timing is impeccable. It's that incident against Aberdeen, you'll remember it, involving Christian Ramirez. The compliance officer took a look at it, didn't like it. Of course, that gets then put towards some further eyes, who cast their eyes over it and decide whether it should have been a red card. And indeed, that was the decision that's been reached. So a three-match ban. He will miss the Celtic game, the Cove Rangers game, and the Motherwell game as well. So that's 17th, 20th and 26th of January.
He can have a long holiday then, because
absolutely.
He's the 3 weeks plus another, 10 days?
Kenny, how do you... And I'm going to bring Kieran back in on Carter Vickers in a second. I feel like the Ryan Porteous debate, like loads in Scotland, has become quite entrenched. You've got lots of Hibs fans or people that stick up for him and say his disciplinary record's not that bad. People have got it in for him. They make too much of it. And then there are others who clearly are very quick to criticise him. Where do you sit on it?
I don't mind his aggression, but he needs to cut out the reckless nature of some of his tackles. It's as simple as that. By the way, he's better than that. He's a better player than that. And he can go on to some great things. You know, he's getting linked with a lot of moves at the moment, and a lot of people will be taking notice of him. Again, I know it will definitely progress. He's got really good people there now.
Sorry to interrupt, because bearing in mind that one as well, that's not even as if he's gone in for a tackle too hard. Yep. That's a kick off the ball. Yep. So you can't justify that one or argue it, really, can you?
It's it's just reckless. You know, it's petulant. It's things that we've talked about with Alfredo Morelos for a number of years. Wee silly situations that are getting involved in that are never, that you can't get away with that these days. There's cameras everywhere. You know, everything gets noticed. So I would just like to see him. I don't want to look, if he can be as aggressive as he wants to be in a fair way. You want dominant centre backs. And again, he's not the biggest, so he probably needs to be aggressive. Again, similar kind of ball to Craig Halkett. Craig's very aggressive as well. Again, but he doesn't get himself in these scenarios. He just needs to cut it out. You know, people let people talk about how good a player he is and how good he's defending. And again, under Sean Maloney and Gary Caldwell, he's got Gary there, a top, top centre back. And he's got Sean, a really probably younger manager, understanding calmer than maybe what Gary is as well. But there's two guys there that can help you. I would just say listen to them, you know, because he'll be missed now for he'll be missed now for Hibs. The way they've played, they've started great under Sean. He's playing middle of a three now, which will probably suit him because he's a wonderful player as well as a really good defender. We just want to be talking about that with Ryan Porteous, because I played against him, I said now, three years ago, I think it was, and he was just coming into the team, and I thought, you know what, this boy's got a chance. You know, he was keen to learn, he was asking questions about certain movements and things, but now every other week we're talking about an incident that's either, like you say, an off the ball, a reckless lunge. Like, he just needs to screw the head a little bit and let people talk about how good a player he is.
Kieran, you've given us some nice suggestions across the league. I know you are a Celtic fan though, and you mentioned Carter Vickers. To what extent do you want to keep him? I mean, I don't know, throw a price at me that would be your cut off, if you like.
Well, I mean, again, with the Scottish League, we're not going to be out there spending tens of millions on players, unfortunately. But you know, there's been different price tags flung about over them. I would say sort of five would be sort of reasonable, and with the way sort of Celtic sort of buy and sell on, 5 million. If you said that 2 or 3 years ago, you'd sit thinking 5 million, there's no chance. But again, it's just how the game's sort of going. You would look at about 5 million there or thereabouts, fingers crossed lower. But I just think Carter Vickers, he's came in, he's just completely transformed the defence staff. You look at him, he's still a bit shaky there, but I can't think of one performance that Carter Vickers has put in, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, there's a wee sort of dodgy moment. He's quick, he's a strong boy. So after the defensive problems we had last season, to sort of get a centre half that you're not moaning at every two games, you know, it is a good change. But
it's a nice point, Kieran, I like it. I'm going to have to move on, I'm late for this already, but thank you for giving us the centre backs, giving them a bit of credit. David and Erskine's got some very interesting thoughts, and we're going to hear them next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are here. We're about to bring in David and Erskine. I'm going to quickly read this question to you. I'm not even giving you time to give me guesses, because David's been hanging on long enough. But we've got a full-time teaser in from all the way from New York. James in New York. He says, greetings from the United States of Arab, which is a wee in-joke based on one of Gordon DL's famous Beat the Pundit answers. And in the spirit of last night's teaser, because we don't have much Scottish football in the top flight, I want to ask the pundits if they can name the 10 goalkeepers with the most amount of clean sheets in English Premier League history. We'll get to that. We'll get your answers. I'll give you some thinking time. Let's bring in David and Erskine, because you've taken tonight's kind of topic, David, and you're putting a different spin on it. Take it away.
Just to expand it very slightly, thoughts on half-time manager of the year so far?
I like it. What are your own thoughts first then?
Right, well, I'm a Rangers man, right, but you've got to give Postecoglou, he's done well with the transitioning of the team, and he's making a bit of a title race out of it. Gio's hit the ground running, nobody can argue with that, but the man for me so far has got to be Dick Campbell.
I love that suggestion, Jim. How could you argue? Worldwide yep. manager of the year for the first half of the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure about worldwide, but certainly in the Angus area, definitely. But no, listen, I spoke a couple of weeks ago. You know, you asked me about result of the weekend, and I'm saying a lot of broth. And you know what Dick's done up there over the last, not just this season, but over the last few seasons, has been extraordinary. And I think, you know, people look at Dick and for whatever reason they get this perception that he's just kind of this off-the-cuff type of guy. It reminds me a wee bit of what John Lambie used to be like. he's brilliant at setting a team up, getting the very best out of his team, putting a real structure in place, keeping it simple for the players. They know their jobs, they know exactly what they've got to do, and they do it week in, week out. And, you know, team building and a team ethos and understanding of your job and doing it is a real, real talent as a manager. And recruitment of that type of player to understand it is another strength, and Dick's got that in abundance. Now, listen, I'm a huge fan of Dick and what he's achieved up at Arbroath. And I think when you have worked at lower levels and you have worked with very stringent budgets and against bigger teams and stuff, you appreciate it even more. And believe me, I appreciate it as much as anybody. Outstanding managerial qualities, not just season, but over the last couple of seasons. I think he's got two promotions there. I think it was Arbroath's first promotion, it was 100 years or something like that.
I mean, Kenny, the decimated card tonight in the Championship, we were looking forward to. Only one game goes ahead, and actually there's a chance for Kilmarnock to close the gap. It's their game in hand over Arbroath, but they played 19 games, right? This is not some sort of, you know, lucky spell at the start of a season. They've played 19 games, and Arbroath are top of the Championship. Part-time Arbroath in a league that's got Kilmarnock with their Premiership budget, Inverness, Partick Thistle, and so on. That I don't think we can overdo the praise for that job so far, can we?
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal how they've sustained it. And like Jim says, it's not just this season. They've had the promotion, they've had a strong season last year as well. So they've just built on, you know, there's, for me, football clubs for any kind of level of success, yeah, there's people that can hit the ground running and get it instantly. But you need stability. You know, Dick's had that. He's had it for a number of years. The squad, he's had his squad together, he knows his players. Like Jim says, the players know exactly what their manager wants. He knows how they're going to go about it. He knows their strengths. He knows what they're good at, what they're not so good at, and they play it. And to be top of the league at this moment, it's just an incredible achievement so far.
How hopeful are you of an away day to Gayfield next season in the top flight, David?
I'll take my big jacket.
and that's in May. Do you think that genuinely could be the case, David? At what stage do we really start to consider that a possibility, that Rangers and Celtic and Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs go to Gayfield for league matches next season?
Well, it's got to be towards the end of sort of end of February, mid-March. Then you can start believing.
Can they sustain it, Jim?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, yeah, listen, you know, he's got Joe Newble in just now, who's done an outstanding job for him. Whether Livingston take him back, he's on loan from Livingston, and he's did really, really well. Not an out-and-out, although he's 6'3", 6'4", he's not an out-and-out target man. He plays kind of inside left, inside right, draws defend, but really good ability, holds up well. And then he's got likes of the McKenna, who's rattling in the goals. So if Newble stays and doesn't go back to Livingston, McKenna stays fit. I mean, he doesn't have the biggest squad in the world. Of course he doesn't, and it's understandable. But if these guys keep fit, no, I fully expect them to be at least in the playoffs. I don't see any way where they won't be in the playoffs now. You know, I think yeah, they'll definitely be fighting for that position to get into the Premiership. I mean, again, if he does that, he may well win the manager of the universe.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, that would be a blow. Anton Dowds is on loan from Falkirk. Yep. If only we knew any members of the Falkirk management team to see if he might be recalled to Falkirk in the break. Kenny, know anyone?
He's done a great job, I know that. He's done a brilliant job over the last few weeks, Anton. Yeah, but he's been a good player, really good. He's obviously only been in the building 10 days, but the big man's got something.
At what point, like, you know, we're talking about, can they sustain it? Is there a... Who are your favourites then for the Championship as it stands at the moment? Is it still Kilmarnock?
I still think Kilmarnock.
Really?
I really do. I think just you look at their squad, you look at they'll have maybe a new manager coming in anytime soon, potentially the ability to go and strengthen in January as well. You know, we know it's a hard transfer window, but I think at that level with Kilmarnock, with the budget and the resources they have, they will be looking to strengthen in a few areas, no doubt. So I still think they'll be favourites and rightly so, but there is a lot of teams up. Inverness, Wee Dodge is doing a fantastic job up there. They'll be right there. Arbroath, again, there's no reason why they can't maintain it. Yes, if they lose a player or two, it might knock that, but I just think that they seem to have got a spirit. There's an understanding of their roles. There's no reason why they can't sustain it.
Who would be the favourites for you, Jim? You know that division inside out.
Yeah, for me, actually, Partick Thistle. I think one of the favourites. I think that whenever I've seen Thistle, not just the fact that they won convincingly when I was in charge of Ayr. But you know, the other games I've seen them, I think they've got real good options, a real good balance of their team. And I think if they bring in one or two, there might be one or two go out, one or two might come in. Yeah, Kilmarnock, whoever, that depends on who comes in and what areas they decide to strengthen in. And Inverness, I think to me that would be the three fighting out in amongst Arbroath, because I said I don't think Arbroath will go away anywhere. So I mean, listen, as ever, the Championship is such a highly contested division. Every team, I think in recent last couple of weeks, Wraith have dipped a little bit, and maybe they just lack a little bit of strength and depth. But there's a lot of good sides there. But for me, at this moment, if we're actually just standing as we are just now, with no new managers, no new players, anything like that, just as the squads are standing at the moment, I'd go for Paddy Thistle.
There's a long way to go. January can be interesting. Mm. Just to round us off, David, you mentioned obviously your own team's manager, Van Bronckhorst, hit the ground running. You even tipped your hat to Ange Postecoglou for his rebuild from your rivals. Are we in one of these strange periods, David, where both teams in Glasgow like their manager, both sets of fans? Because that doesn't last long. Generally, who did I hear talking about it? I think maybe it was actually Mark Warburton, Kenny, your old manager, talking about generally there's good cop and bad cop, because whatever one is winning, the other one, you know, is unpopular. That's just the way it has to be. We're still in that period though, David, where both are popular, aren't they?
Well, I think Postecoglou is in a situation where he's got that grace of time at the moment, where everybody knows it's a transitional season, so he's going to have a bit of leeway this season. So I think there's going to be a bit of goodwill towards both managers this season, as long as Van Bronckhorst wins.
I thought you might say that. There will be times. Obviously, Rangers fans, by and large, you know, gave Stephen Gerrard a bit of time, but yeah, that does wear off, and eventually, it's usually one manager is up there and the other one is down there. So we'll see. Thank you, David, in Erskine. That was nice of you to get in touch. 01419511025, and that impromptu section in the Championship, Jim, because I was planning a sort of more focused part of the show tonight on the Championship. That there were five games scheduled initially. We went down to three, I think, due to COVID. And in the space of today, we've gone down to one due to the weather. How big a night is this for Kilmarnock then? It's a home match against Morton. Mm-hmm. On paper, that's one they absolutely would have designs on winning. Mm-hmm. And now they're the only team, you know, up there that's playing tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got to take advantage of that situation. You know, the other teams not playing in the top half. But Morton, listen, got a new manager, Doug Emery. It's his first game. You know, it's a very difficult game for him, the first game. But nevertheless, like any new manager, you want to try and get, you know, your first point or points on the board, and you know, just try and give the team a little lift, which generally happens. So you know, it'll be an awkward game for Kilmarnock, but they had a terrific result. I'm not saying the performance was great. I think Zach came and saved two penalties. There was
he got sent off.
A bit of controversy, but. Yeah, but they won the game, and I think that was very important for James Fowler, who's in the interim charge. And I think if they can get that win tonight, and then I think the game at the weekend, I think it's been postponed, isn't it? I think against Ayr, I think they've put that back. So that gives them a little bit more time to try and see where they get their new guy in charge. But yeah, a very, very important for both teams. But I think if Kilmarnock have aspirations to win that title, which they do, then they have to win tonight's game.
Still time for your calls. Let's hear from you. 01419511025. Let me thank James in New York again, who sent in tonight's full time teaser. And if you want to put your Christmas holidays to good use, get a question, come up with the answer, send it in to us at fulltime@clyde1.com, and you, like James, could have it mentioned on the show. So James wants to know, since the English Premier League is on the go and we are not in the top flight at the moment, who are the 10 goalies with the most amount of clean sheets in English Premier League history? Kenny, give me
check.
One. He is top yeah, of check. The tree. Jim Duffy.
Schmeichel.
He is, would you believe, yes, he's 10th though. Oh. He sneaks in.
Okay. Van der Sar.
Edwin van der Sar is in 7th place. Well done. Do you want a sort of trade secret here that I shouldn't really admit? I don't know if it. You know, most workplaces have got that weird lull in between Christmas and New Year when everyone's kind of off, and even the people that are in, they're sort of off in their heads anyway. The printer through there, I can barely read what's written down, right? So you're going to have to rely on me. I need a magnifying glass. It's barely printed out the answers, but I can just see Peter Cech, Edwin van der Sar, Peter Schmeichel, Kenny.
David James.
He's second. I'll be really impressed if Kenny does them
I'm
1 to 10.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Right, that's 4, so we'll leave it there. I'll give you thinking time. We'll take more calls on your top 3 players of the year so far and the answers to this next.
Number 1 for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Still time to squeeze your calls in if you fancy it. We've had a good old discussion and debate tonight about the top 3 players in the top flight so far this season. We're not dishing out any awards, it's a bit early. We're just trying to give credit where it's due and reflect on the first half of the season. So we're going to speak to Billy in Clydebank, who's got 3 names that I don't think we've had yet. So that's good, we're still going strong at this stage. Quickly, let me check in on this question from James in New York, who wants you to name the 10 keepers with the most clean sheets in English Premier League history. You've got Peter Cech, David James, Edwin van der Sar, Peter Schmeichel. Jim, any during the break?
Ederson.
He is not at that level yet. Kenny Miller.
Joe Hart.
He's one off. Can you believe that? One. He is one off this list.
Reina.
Pepe Reina. Yes, he's got 136 clean sheets.
Brad Friedel.
Brad Friedel is also on the list. He's on 132. Yeah, Joe Hart's one off it. So that's, you're doing not too badly. You've only got, where are we? 1, 2, 3, I think 4 to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Right, I've given you the big build up, Billy. All night we've been talking about the top 3 players. We've heard Aribo, we've heard Rogic, we've heard Kyogo, we've heard Suter and Gordon. And I think you have got 3 names we've not had yet. Take it away.
Hi Gordon, thanks for letting me on and take my call.
Pleasure.
Merry Christmas to yourself, Kenny and Mr. Duffy.
Thank you very much, Billy. Thank you. Hope it was a good one.
And could somebody actually go and get Mr. Duffy some cigarettes or a fisherman's friend, because it sounds hellish.
Yeah, I saw that. Singing over the Christmas period, that's what it was.
You were popping some sort of throat sweet in the office earlier.
Yeah, my daughter works in the pharmacy, so she gave me some throat lozenges, but
so this is you.
I'm sounding like a Glaswegian Sean Dyche, I think.
This is you sounding good, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, wow, I'm almost falsetto now.
Things you never thought you would hear. Right, Billy, what's your shortlist looking like? Who's your top 3?
Right, obviously I'm a Rangers fan, and most of the, I want to go away for the old firm, if you understand what I mean, because
go for
I'm
it.
A Rangers fan, but I like the Scottish Premier League.
Brilliant.
And I watch the Scottish Premier League quite a bit, obviously, as much as I can. My 3 is Tony Watt, obviously, for Motherwell. I mean, obviously he's been banging the goals in this season, but I think I've always heard he's a lazy player and he doesn't do any training or the rest of it. But since he's came to Motherwell and Motherwell gave him a chance, he looks a happy guy. And I know there's a wee bit of contradiction just now with the United, but I don't really bother about that. But he's done well this year. And my other 2 is Martin Boyle for Hibs and Lewis Ferguson for Aberdeen.
Tell you what, some interesting suggestions. I mean, Billy's right. Tony Watt, you know, he has done well for Motherwell. It does look like such a good fit, Jim Duffy. Mm-hmm. And he's right about the Dundee United business as well. But yeah, if we take it up to this point, does he deserve to be in the conversation?
Yeah, another one, that's what I said earlier on. It's great to get a real good spread of players, and it shows you that, you know, these teams, Motherwell in particular, having a good season, a terrific season under Graham Alexander, and Tony Watt being pivotal to that. You know, Tony's always had talent. You know, we obviously, I'll always refer back to his goal as a kid, you know, scoring against Barcelona, and sometimes that can haunt you a little bit, because it's the only thing people remember. But you know, as I said, that was a wee bit surprised. Listen, I understand, you've got to move on, you've got to look after yourself, but just because he seems to really enjoy being at Motherwell, he seems to thrive in that environment, and you know, he's playing with a smile on his face, he's scoring some terrific goals, but his work rate, his effort, everything you would want from him, and allied to his talent, has got him back on the, you know, people talking about should he be involved in the Scotland setup again. So, yeah, I mean, another one who, you know, you would have to say is having one of the best seasons of his career.
Kenny, what do you make of Billy's list?
Boyle, definitely, I think. Yeah. You know, the list could be 10, 15 names long. We've had a lot of, obviously, the Old Firm players, a few out with the Old Firm as well, Craig Gordon. But Martin Boyle definitely should be on that list. Scored, got off to a flyer, obviously scored a lot of goals already, the double figures, obviously well over double figures for the season so far, in all competitions. So definitely should be mentioned in the category of the top performers so far. Lewis Ferguson, again, another player who has been doing it for a number of years now. Again, probably not getting as many headlines as some of the other names in regards to where he's at and the type of player that he is, obviously being a midfielder, but he does pop up with some really important goals as well. So he's having another real steady season, Lewis, you know, and he's been kind of mooted now for a move for a number of years. Maybe, I know Aberdeen fans will maybe not thank me for it, maybe it's time that he maybe looks to maybe go on to another level to see if he can, maybe, I know he's been in the Scotland squad, but maybe push for more opportunities to Scotland, and again maybe test himself at a higher level.
What about Tony Watt then? The performance first, maybe we'll feed into the contract thing later on, but is he, again, if we're talking about, you know, the best players out with then the Old Firm, the list looks pretty strong with Boyle and Ferguson and Souter and Gordon. Yep. And is Tony Watt right in there?
Top scorer in the league, Gordon. So he's playing for, again, he's playing for not one of the biggest teams in the league. He's top scorer in the league at halfway with nine league goals. So absolutely deserves to be on that list. And it's not, I've said on this in discussion about Tony Watt a number of times now, he's not playing as a number nine. I know that he is a number nine and he's playing a different role. I mean, people want to say he's not doing this. He's putting his shift in for his team as well. He's working off that left-hand side a lot of the time where Van Veen's maybe through the middle. So he's had a wonderful season so far. Some of his goals have been excellent. The fact that he's doing it from a slightly different role and different position as well is even more impressive. And if he keeps that kind of run of goals up towards the end of the season, yeah, he's moved on and he's going to be moving on in the summer. But it's... he'll still want to finish off the season and carry on his wonderful form that's got him so many rave reviews this year and got him potentially on the verge of the Scotland squad.
Do you think it speaks for the overall strength, Billy, or you know, highlights, if you like, from the league that we've got so many players out with Glasgow's big two that are catching the eye? I've just mentioned you've given us three crackers, you know, Watt, Ferguson and Boyle. Earlier on we've had John Souter, we've had Craig Gordon, I think we've had Charlie Mulgrew, we've had Ryan Porteous. What does that say about what we've got going on in the top flight at the moment?
I think the league this season has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, some of the positions of the clubs at the moment are, you know, you wouldn't expect it. I mean, St Johnstone for a start, I mean, you're like, wow, for what they were last year. And then Dundee United started off fantastic, but they've started drifting away. The same as Hibs, they started off really good, but they've drifted away. Now they've got Simon Donnelly in, so they've won all their games under Simon Donnelly. Hearts have done fantastic, you know, coming up for the Championship, which we knew they would, but no as good as what they're, I don't mean that nasty, but no as good as what they're actually doing just now. But I think the league is going to be really good this season, and I can't wait for the second half of the season. Because I think there's still going to be an awful lot of shocks this season.
Billy, I love it. I love your enthusiasm. I always like to try and talk up the game. We sometimes get distracted fighting with each other and arguing over things, but it's always nice to hear a positive note. Even if you got your Sean Maloney's and your Simon Donnelly's mixed up, it's easy done.
I do apologise.
No, you're fine. That was Billy in Clyde Bank, 01419511025. I like that. Well, that was a good list. He's spreading it across the league. It's three standout players. He's even resisted the temptation to go for Glasgow's big two as well. So I like that. I'm happy with Billy's call, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, there is a good spell. I mean, it's interesting because last week when I was on, Gordon made a couple of callers on about Lewis Ferguson, you know, Celtic fans saying that they think they should go for him. And again, tonight, talking about Carter Vickers, and you would have to say that John Souter would have to be an option for Celtic as well to look at, you know, in terms of, if you can get him either for a nominal fee or nothing, again, you know, what a great signing he would be. If they can't do a deal with Carter Vickers, you know, I mean, because it's going to cost several million, probably four plus, and then maybe add-ons. So, yeah, I mean, that's another one where you would have to say that might be a possibility.
Is that the best fit then? Because you can spin this question a number of ways. You can say, who's the best player out with the Old Firm? Or, you know, who's having the best season out with the Old Firm? Those might cast up different answers. Who's the best fit for either of those two sides to buy from within the league or to acquire? Would it be John Souter for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that John Souter would definitely have to be, you know, because the financial side of it as well. I mean, he's, as I said, if you can get a deal just now. You know, it's not going to cost you an enormous amount of money in modern day football. And if you can't, you've got a top class international player for nothing at the peak of his career. No, even probably a year or so still to go at that level. And as a centre back, you know, you're talking 10 years ahead of him. So, you know, he's got all the attributes. He's terrific, a modern day centre back, good on the ball, can break forward, you know, links the play up well, a strong physical, you know. Everything you'd want really in a centre back just now. So again, him, I think Tony Watt's been a good bit of business for Dundee United to get him either for nothing again or for a nominal fee. I think he's been a good piece of business. But yeah, for me, as a piece of business, John Souter's got to be the bargain of the season.
Right, go on then. Based on what you've heard, Kenny Miller, maybe you had your own thoughts, maybe the callers have persuaded you otherwise. What's your top three of from the season so far? It can't all be from the same team. Who are the top three standout players from the Premiership?
For me, two are nailed on. I think Kyogo has to be in there. These are in no particular order, okay, by the way. Kyogo has to be in there. I think Joe Aribo should be in there.
By the way, that third choice is going to be tough.
It's real tough because I'm going to go out with, obviously, the Old Firm. Mm-hmm. I think I would go for Tony Watt.
I don't know why I thought I was getting a Craig Gordon there, but then I remembered you prefer the strikers, so that makes sense. Right, Jim Duffy, he's gone. Aribo, Kyogo, Watt, or Watt, Kyogo, Aribo, whatever order you want. What's your top three?
Yeah, I mean, I would be Kyogo and Aribo. If I was going just by quality of players and level of players, I'd be going Rogic. But taking someone away from the Old Firm, I'd be going Craig Gordon. I think he's such an influence and the team. I think the results last year going there, the, you know, some of the saves he made to help promotion this year, to sustain that level, he's professionalism, his level, his consistency, to be the number one for Scotland now, you know, at 39 years of age, no, for me it'd be Craig Gordon.
Brilliant. I think that just about does it for tonight. I don't think we'll squeeze any more calls in. Before we do go then, Kenny, how's life at Falkirk? You've obviously gone in, I was going to say a couple of games under your belt. One was cancelled due to fog. What minute on the clock?
I think it was 40. Run about the 40th minute. Yeah, so
you take that on the chin.
You know, absolutely, because it was getting done after 10 minutes. It could have went. So it was. Yeah, we never even seen the goal going. It was
seriously
that bad. Yeah, we couldn't even see the ball going back in it. We just seen celebrations. We just thought, hope that's us. So it was. It was always going to happen. No, but it's been a good 10 days. Disappointing result at the weekend. To be honest, there was a lot of good stuff. Lads have taken on board a lot of the messages. Just a few tidy ups that need to do so we can start climbing that table.
And is there scope then to go straight to work with recruitment? Is that part of your role? How is that going to work in January?
Well, again, it's all hands on deck, but really at any level of recruitment is. But there is, obviously, you've got Gary Holtz in place at the moment there, who does a lot of work of that behind the scenes. Liam Morales does a lot of the work as well. But obviously when you're in there, manager will get a lot of calls about players, coaches get a lot of calls about players, but it's just bringing it all together and see what the best fits for your club, who you can get, who's available, who is going to be there, finances, how do they fit, how we want to play, all that kind of stuff as well. So that's well underway.
Going to be interesting end to the season there. I say end, second half, we're just at that halfway point mostly, aren't we, and looking forward to what lies ahead. It's obviously been a bit of a strange time. We knew we were getting a winter break, we didn't know we were getting it right now. Championship was supposed to be on, but COVID and the rain latterly has put an end to that. We do have one game tonight, which is that game between Kilmarnock and Morton, so I'm sure we'll keep an eye on that and we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll give you all the feedback from that one. Right, let's round off with tonight's teaser. I'll always remind you, and by the way, see, whilst we're on the quiz theme, tune in tomorrow night. You may remember that during lockdown, when we had no football to talk about and things were a bit tough and people needed cheered up, we did the lockdown quiz with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Now these two are like, it's like Dumb and Dumber when we get to quizzing, right? And they like to take the mickey out of each other. And we streamed it on Facebook and it was great fun, and so many people said, you know, you need to keep doing it. So we did it a few times and brought it back on special occasions. Well, hopefully for one final time, I don't know what we'll call it, something really unimaginative, like the big fat 2021 we thought we were out of lockdown but we're not really quiz. It'll be something like that. But those two will quiz again tomorrow. You can take part, get your team names ready, go up against your mates, do what you need to do, and join us for that quiz tomorrow. So that'll be good fun. With that in mind, 10 goalies with the most clean sheets in English Premier League history. You've got Cech, David James, Pepe Reina, Edwin van der Sar, Brad Friedel, Peter Schmeichel,
and David Seaman.
Yes, he's on there. 1-4-1, Kenny.
And I've got, who have I got here? Yeah, Mark Schwarzer.
Mark Schwarzer, he is on there. He's really high up the list, actually. He's in third place, 151 clean sheets for him.
Was that Middlesbrough he was at?
Yeah, I think mostly.
Shows you how far they have fallen.
Who else did he play for, though? I don't know why that slipped my mind. Anyway, he's on
Fulham.
The list.
Is that Fulham?
Yeah. Okay, I think two more.
Yeah.
I think I've got one.
Tim Howard?
Yeah,
yes.
That's the one I was going for,
right.
Tim Howard.
Which means you're left with...
I've got him, to be fair.
You sure?
Yeah, well,
the only
so.
Thing I want to say is thanks, Kenny, for making me feel old, because I was his manager when he was 17. Now he's the coach. So now he's turned full
is
circle
that right?
Now.
Yeah.
So oh, now, hold on a minute, I'm going to extend the show.
So now I'm feeling remarkably old. That the boy I gave his debut to at 17
Sorry, I was thinking that loan spell.
Now
he's
a coach and on his first road to, well, I know he had the wee test, the management at Livingston, but back on the road again. So listen, I want to wish him all the best.
Oh, we'll need to reunite you two at some point and get stuck into that. Right, you've put one more.
Nigel Martin.
There we go.
Ah, look at the teamwork, both of you, rolling back the years. Well done, Nigel Martin, you got there. Right, join us for that quiz tomorrow, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. And in the meantime, stay right there. Cassie's up next.